It's open air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're also streaming online at www.ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel, and we've got more live music for you. Joining me in the JPR studios, Stephen Kellogg. Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
You're on a long-distance road trip today, so I appreciate you taking some time out to visit with us.
I'm honored to be here.
You got a new album, not officially out yet, but due out soon. We've got an early copy called Blunderstone Rookery. We'll talk about that in a minute. I want to start, if I can, going back to a quote that hopefully you actually said and wasn't just one that was manufactured, where you talked about using words and intention in the hopes of leaving a positive legacy for your family.
That is totally mine. Yep.
How did that come about? What was the context of uttering that mission statement, I guess, as it were?
Yeah, you know, the band I've been playing in for the last 10 years has gone on hiatus for the moment. And the day after that, after our last concert for the time being, I was sitting there thinking about the next chapter of my life. And my management called and said, you know, we should probably switch some of the Twitter and Facebook properties. And I just thought, what am I doing this for? Why am I pressing on at this moment? Like when my fellas have decided to kind of stop for a minute. And that was the reason. So that was the sentence that just kind of came to me, and I've stuck to that since then.
A lot of artists who are coming up in their careers take on an approach of trying to reach out to other musicians and fans and embracing others and including people in the process and even cheerleading for others. That's something that you're still doing.
Oh, yeah.
Almost more so than a lot of artists that I see is that you seem to be this very welcoming presence in the music community.
Oh, thank you.
At what point did you really start to embrace that idea of being welcoming to others, including others in the process?
Well, you know, I think humility and does a lot for, you know, when things don't go your way, it's an eye opener. And, you know, as the years, I'd like to think I've always been that way, but I think it really happened more after I'd been in the business for a few years, and you see certain things that you hope to have happen not happen, and then, you know, other good things do happen, I just started to key into the fact that it feels a lot better to celebrate the successes of others, and, you know, you feel a lot more in touch and a lot more human that way. And so it's really just a selfish thing. It just feels a lot better to root for others, you know?
There was this interesting anecdote that I read about one of your shows where your opening act was Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
And it was an opening act that people were kind of not paying attention and kind of talking and drinking in the background or whatever.
Yeah.
And just your desire to try to go back and have that whole thing be different.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, she's great and we're still friendly, you know, to this day. But I've had some great opening acts over the years. The Avett Brothers opened a tour and Matt Carney opened for a while. And, you know, and especially in the beginning, if people weren't, sometimes the audience wouldn't totally treat them the way you would hope they would. And that never made sense to me because then they went on to be great acts. So for years now, if someone's opening and having a hard time, you know, me or the guys in the band will all try to sit in and do that. And you see that big, you know, Dave Matthews does that with his band. I just think it's the right thing to do if you're going to have somebody on tour, you know.
Stephen Kellogg is my guest live in the JPR studios. His new album is called Blunderstone Rookery. I want to talk a little bit about that decade with the band, but let's hear some music first. What are you going to play for us?
Okay, sure. I'm going to play a song called Crosses. March up the side of any interstate or parkway. Little vigils mark up the landscape. White sticks where the flowers live. Left with the hope of seeing him again. Left with the hope of seeing her again. It's easy not to recognize that there were crosses in the road and secrets that were never told. The river and the train, so different but the same. They were just getting where they need to go. Decorations out a car window. Hold on to memories, look for a sign that talk to gravestones that never seem to talk back. Never knowing what could have been, left with the hope of seeing him again. Left with the hope of seeing her again. It's easy now to recognize that there were crosses in the road and secrets that were never told. The river and the train, so different but the same. They were just getting where they need to go. Somewhere far from heaven only knows. All this time I'm still haunted by your face and I think of you on your darkest night. I wish that I could save you from the wreckage of your last goodbye. And when I'm lonely, I go and see you. And the crosses in the road and secrets that were never told. The river and the train, so different but the same. They were just getting where they need to go. And the crosses in the road and secrets that were never told. The people that we used to know, they were just getting where they need to go. Pay our respects to crosses in the road. Pay our respects to crosses in the road.
That is Crosses live in the studio at Stephen Kellogg, music from his new album called Blunderstone Rookery. Stephen, I want to talk about the band that you fronted for almost a decade or a little bit more than a decade.
Yeah.
The Sixers, Stephen Kellogg and the Sixers. Where did that band's music fit on the music spectrum? I mean, now there's this term that we use a lot for the music we play on the station, AAA, sort of singer-songwriter-ish, kind of rock, kind of pop, kind of folk, a little country.
Yeah.
Is that kind of solidly where
that is all was? Those things, yeah. I mean, we were right in the middle of all that. And I think actually the music that's sort of become in vogue at the moment is closer to what we were kind of doing all along. But we made certain records that were poppier and certain ones that were rootsier. But at its core, I think it was just an Americana group, and in the spirit of, you know, the E Street Band and Crazy Horse and the Heartbreakers, and just, you know, it was a real, even though it was my name on front, it was a real band of brothers, you know.
Did it form after college?
Formed after college, you know, formed a couple of years after college. We were all working and knew each other a little and just kind of looking for an alternative to more traditional work. And that band was our answer for 10 years.
You all ended up with nicknames.
Lots of them.
Did you have them before the band or?
No.
They
no,
all came about.
You lasted about 4 minutes in the van, but and then it was nickname time. You would, if the guys were here, you'd have a nickname by now, Eric. Yeah, for sure.
So the decision to go on hiatus, was that a result of you wanting to pursue solo stuff or the band just kind of running its course or needing to take some time to deal with family and life?
Yeah, I think the latter there. It was actually the other guys in the band just, you know, feeling like we've got a really good thing and it's still a celebration every night. And, you know, we're getting to do this the music's never felt better, but let's take a break from it because it's, you know, just people needing to do other things.
You guys played a lot.
Yeah, we did. We played close to 1,300 shows. And so in that time period, and so we spent a lot of that time on the road. And, you know, and I understand that impulse and kind of when that was presented, a hiatus seemed like the most. I mean, that's something that we can play together again down the line without turning into Eagles reunions and things like that, you know, so.
You've kind of had a solo thing going on the whole time, though, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always kind of been the primary songwriter, and I would go out occasionally and do solo tours, and I enjoy it. I like it all. I mean, I love playing for people. I love writing songs, and, you know, so whether that comes in the form of a band thing or a more intimate setting, I love it all, you know, whichever way it comes, so.
Well, we just heard you do Crosses. How does your solo stuff differ from the band stuff? It's not just the same songs without the instrumentation behind you, right? It's a different style.
It feels pretty different to me, you know, and it's sometimes hard to pinpoint exactly why, and I'm sure once the record's out and people have had a chance to hear it and write about it a little bit, there'll be a clearer picture as to what's different. But for me, the biggest difference is the band was a democracy or something like a democracy. So there were certain elements of, you know, indie rock or pop or things that aren't necessarily my aesthetic that are going to be involved in that. And on this album, it really skews towards early 70s songwriter kind of vibe. I've never totally made a record to me that was where the true north was, you know, Jim Croce and Cat Stevens and Jackson Browne. And for me, this record, that was kind of where I turned, because that's where my preference lies.
Stephen Kellogg is my guest live in the JPR studios. His new album is called Blunderstone Rookery. We've got a lot more to talk about. I want to hear about the picnics that you've thrown. I want to hear about the TED lecture that you gave.
Awesome.
Let's hear some more music though first. What are you going to play?
All right, cool. I'm going to sing you a song called Forgive You, Forgive Me. You call me a fake, maybe you're right, but you don't know what I've been through to stand up here tonight. I called you a friend, maybe I was wrong. You tear things down and don't expect to find yourself alone. But you are so forgive me, forgive me. And I'll forgive you, forgive you. You can't win and you may lose, but if you forgive me, I'll forgive you. Ooh. I made a mistake, no one disagrees, but you were nowhere to be found when I was on my knees. Yes, I was. So forgive me, forgive me. And I'll forgive you, forgive you. You can't win and you may lose, but if you forgive me, I'll forgive you.
That is live music from Stephen Kellogg on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're also streaming at ijpr.org. That one is called Forgive You, Forgive Me from the new album called Blunderstone Rookery. Stephen, there are so many tangential stories that I have uncovered reading about you that are so fascinating and kind of unusual, one of which is a series of picnics that you have put on that are almost like fan appreciation parties.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, that's good. I've never heard that. Fan appreciation parties. Excellent.
Describe what you do, because one night's a show, a sort of straightforward show, mm-hmm. but the other night is sort of like rarities and oddities and...
Right, yeah. I mean, well, you know, one thing I've been blessed with is a very cool fan base that digs through the catalog of songs. And so in trying to harness that and bring that together, and, you know, it's fun for me to be around that. We started doing these weekends once a year, and we do the first night is deep cuts and B-sides, and then the second day we have a giant field day, you know, with a water balloon toss, and we hang out and have a big barbecue, and then that next night is a concert, and is a regular concert, and this year I'm sort of expanding it and bringing in some of my friends who are acts and modeling it a little bit after Willie Nelson's, you know, 4th of July picnic that he does. But it's great. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world those weekends when we do that.
So who gets invited?
Everybody. You just buy a ticket and come. Cool. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
You also made a tour of military bases a few years ago.
Yeah.
Played to troops, American troops?
Yeah, I've done that 3 times. I'm doing it again, I think, this fall.
How'd that get started?
I just, you know, at some point along the way, you start thinking, well, we can't wait until we're U2 to start giving back. And so for me, that was like kids. Kids are a big thing. I have 4 daughters, and I, you know, so when I can, I do the kids' hospitals. And troops, you know, I feel very lucky to be in America. I never had to serve in the military, but... I know it's a big sacrifice, and this feels like the least a person could do, you know.
Well, and you mentioned kids and playing at children's hospitals. You've done some kid concerts.
Yeah.
Are you now finding yourself writing kid songs?
Not at all.
No?
I don't feel any. I mean, I love when I play Old MacDonald when I do that stuff, and I can do that. But I, you know, kids' music is so... It's so major, and I'm just like, everything I write has a little bit of a depressing element to it, just a hint. And so, no, I have yet to really write I have written 1 children's song for my first daughter when she was born, but it's not very good, so, yeah.
One really amazing phenomenon over the last few years has been the rise of the TED Institution. And it has turned into TED Radio Hour, which we now carry here on Jefferson Public Radio, the NPR distributed show that pairs together 3 different TED lectures on something that is meaningful or something that matters.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. Gave a TEDx lecture not that long ago, right?
Yeah, just March 23rd. So just recently, and it just came up. It came up very recently online. So yeah, great experience.
How did you get asked to do that, or did you put your name in a hat or something?
No, it's funny. I that invitation came. It had actually come 2 years ago, and I couldn't make it to do the one at Concordia U here in Oregon too. And the curator was a fan of my music and invited me because of that. But I didn't really feel qualified to talk on music. But I accepted the invitation and then had to kind of... And she said, you can talk about anything you want, you know, give your talk of a lifetime.
And you're right. It's 20 minutes, no script.
18 minutes or less, yeah. They give you the TED commandments, which are, you know, like, thou shalt not go over 18 minutes, you know, thou shalt not use notes, things like that. Yeah. And you kind of, once you say yes, you're on the ride. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, we need your title next week. We need your outline 2 weeks from now. And, you know, and you kind of get shot into the rocket, which is great because it helps you put together a good talk, you know. And mine was on job satisfaction. So,
do you have any idea if yours is going to be worked into one of the radio episodes?
I don't know, and it's a little early to tell. I think they screen those, and I think it's a matter of how much it affects people. But it really was great, and I would, you know, obviously be thrilled to have it reach a wider audience.
So. You did well.
Thank you.
Your penchant for storytelling came through.
Cool. Thank you.
Let's talk briefly about the new album, Blunderstone Rookery. Where's the title come from?
The title, Blunderstone Rookery, is the boyhood home of David Copperfield from Dickens, and that's my favorite book. some people have the Bible. I have David Copperfield. And so the, you know, that Blunderstone Rookery is a place that he was, that was a happy home that became an unhappy home. And then he makes peace with it later. And that was a good metaphor for this record.
Is there more from the story in the album, or was it just a really good title for you?
It was just a really good title, but I have to say that there are pieces of his life are kind of in a lot of my songs, including a few on this album and Thanksgiving and a couple others. There's stuff from David Copperfield.
Are the songs that made Blunderstone Rookery from the Sixers catalog at all, or were they things that you had sort of worked up on the side? Or are they new?
There were things when the Sixers decided to go on hiatus was when we knew it was time to make another record. And making a record is such a Herculean amount of energy that I think that was like, I think, you know, for some of the guys, like, I think this would be a good time to bow out. And I just took that as an opportunity to kind of work on the songs that felt like the right ones to have as my first kind of solo record, or at least first solo record as a professional, you know. So these all kind of came post Sixers, as in the wake of that.
And you did have a band.
And I do have a great band. You know, but it's different guys, it's different people on everything. But I know you had, you know, Sean and Sarah Watkins in here, and Sean Watkins plays the guitar on that.
Stephen Kellogg is my guest live in the JPR studios. His new album is called Blunderstone Rookery. Can you play one more for us?
I'd love to. Sure. This one's called I Don't Want to Die on the Road. From Jackson Brown to Levon Helm, to all the things I care about, it took a while, but I found out the truth. If nothing gold can ever stay, you take the cards you're dealt today and make them into something you can use. The dreams I had when I was younger, some so wild and filled with wonder, some that I have failed to recognize. For all these kids and all this noise and all that time spent with the boys, don't know why it comes as a surprise. Did I don't want to die on the road, someplace that is not my home. I've been wrong before, but this I know, that I don't want to die on the road. If rock and roll can save your soul, it's also gonna take its toll. You get the things you give, and I gave this a lot. Buddy Holly, Stevie Ray, Harry Chapin, Jim Croce, but not my name today. If it's something you don't want to hear, then keep your hands upon your ears. Remember, though, that there will come a time when all you've said is all you'll say. You might as well kill me today if this is all I'm gonna leave behind. See, I don't wanna die on the road, someplace I don't even know. I've been wrong before, but this I know, that I don't wanna die. No, I don't wanna die on the road. Mm-hmm.
That is Stephen Kellogg live in the JPR studios here on the Rhythm and News service of JPR. Blunderstone Rookery is the new album. Stephen, it has been a real pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Thanks for taking time out of your road trip to come visit with us.
Oh, gosh. Thank you guys for being awesome and playing great music.